During these days at Hope Church, there is wonderful things that are happening. Seeing elders be called is good. This is, according to Scripture, the elders and teachers and all of those who serve the church are actually God's gifts, part of God's gifts to the church, to the people. And so these men are gifts to you, for they will work in ways that are unique to them, and God has uniquely gifted every person who receives His Spirit in such a way that His own particular working finds its blessing through each individual life. And we lately have been thinking about the structure of church. We've been talking about elders. We just appointed two men to serve this church, and we have also lately been thinking about deacons, and that's where I want to turn our attention next, because Paul invites us to think about three types of people in the church. In his letter to the Philippians, he says this. He says there are saints, there are overseers, or elders, it's the same word, and deacons who are in the church. And that's those to whom he's writing the letter. This is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in church in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sweet way to begin a letter. Grace and peace to you. That comes through an organized, functioning, serving body of believers. God communicates His grace and peace through organized help and leaders who can lead and serve. Paul says about him and Timothy, what does he call himself? Verse 1. Paul and Timothy are what? Servants. We are servants of the church. When I said to you a minute ago, I read about the ordination of Aaron and his sons as priests. We're not serving you as priests. We're not those who authoritatively come between you and God. As children of God, we have received the Holy Spirit, and so there is only one mediator through whom we need to go in order to get to God, and that's Jesus, right? Not us. We're simply serving you. You can go directly to the Lord because of His Spirit, who He has given to us. And yet, there are those who serve the church and are helpful. And so we see, you're the saints. That says you. Elders, you have seen this morning. And so now I just want to talk a few minutes about deacons. Yes, I get confused. Elders and deacons, we talk about them a lot. Deacons right now. We're thinking about deacons because they serve. And last year at our elders retreat, we've been thinking about this for quite a while, but at the elders retreat, it seemed particularly good to us that this ministry year, we would begin to install a team of deacons, a team of those who would serve the church. And that seemed to resonate with all of us. And so we began to then pray, Lord, is this what you would have us do this particular ministry year? And so now we lay this before you. There has been a document that you should have been able to read by now if you're wanting to know our thinking and understand all that's behind where we're going with this. That's a rather expansive document. I encourage you to grab it and read it. If you need a copy of it, please just let us know. But there are at least three reasons I think the Lord may be inviting us during this season of our lives in order to establish a team of deacons. And the first is because we as elders need help. We can't do it all. There is so much ministry to be done. There are so many needs to be met. And right now we were four. Today now we're six. And yet there are many people who need to be served. And deacons are part of God's structure for serving people. And so we need help in doing that in order to effectively and genuinely and authentically and quickly meet as many needs as possible. And so that's a good reason for establishing deacons. Secondly, I think it will be good for the long-term life and health of this church. As we read this passage in Acts, I think you'll see that the result of establishment of deacons is good for the gospel and it's good for the people. We know that the decisions that we make here and now will affect those who come after us in 50 years when we're all dead and gone. So I believe this is a good plan. This is God's idea. It's not our dream, but this is God's idea for His church. And I believe it'll be good for us going forward and for the future. And thirdly, I think also that the Lord intends for many of us, as David said this, to more actively and intentionally minister to the body of Christ. I think this is a call for some of you the Lord may be stirring your hearts and thinking about what it means to be serving as a deacon. What does that entail? The Lord might stir up some of you. If we're right in discerning his will, then he's stirring some of your hearts to consider, is that me? Should I be considering this? Should I pray about this? Right? As the body of Christ, every one of us have a particular gift that should be used for the edification of the church. Every one of you. Every person who has the Spirit of God has been given at least one spiritual gift that God intends to find being expressed through this body life. So it's our desire that every one of you would find some way to express that spiritual gift, whether it's singing or leading Easter choirs or shoveling snow on these kinds of days or making coffee or shaking a hand as people come in the door, or praying for people. Whatever it is, God has given every one of you an expression of your service. If it's teaching kids or teaching adults, whatever it is, we strive for you to find some way to express that ministry. And there are ministries yet to be expressed. If God is calling us to invest more in this church, you may have a passion that we do not yet have a ministry for that passion to find expression. One of the things that I love about this church is if you feel the Lord moving your heart towards a particular area of ministry, please come and tell us as elders and we'll help discern that with you. Right? This is an entrepreneurial kind of church, I often hear, right? If the ministry and passion is God's moved your heart, then talk to us. Let us pray and discern the will of the Lord together about how that might find expression. So I think those are three reasons why the Lord may be inviting us at this particular point in the life of this church to consider establishing a team of deacons. The next question then, well, what is a deacon? What is this word called deacon that we hear? It's basically a transliteration of the Greek word diakonos, it's the ordinary word in Greek for a servant. It's just the word for a servant. In the New Testament time period, it was used of someone who was a table waiter, someone who is simply a server who cares for basic needs and a table waiter. And that's what leads us to this passage in Acts. So I'm going to read this. This is Acts chapter 6. This is very early in the life of the church. I'll read 1 through 7. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12, that's the 12 apostles, or the 12 disciples who were called apostles later, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenes, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, some would argue this shouldn't be used when discussing deacons because the noun form of the word deacon does not appear in this text. And that's true, it doesn't. But the verb form of the word does appear in verse 2. So we could literally translate verse 2 as saying, "The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God in order to deacon tables." That's what the word means. It just simply means to serve. And I believe the reason why this is the case is because this is very early in the life of the church. It's in its infancy. And the office of deacon, as it would come to be known when Paul writes his letter to the Philippians, is not yet formalized into a place of needed structure. And so these are simply servants. They're just called servants. They're not an official office because there hasn't been a need for this to be in place in the church because it hasn't grown to that point. But they're in the middle of a crisis. Growth is happening exponentially. Many people are coming to faith. And so we find this problem, this tension arises that the deacons were appointed in order to meet this need. And so from this passage, I just want to share quickly three observations about what a deacon is, what they do. First of all, from this passage we see deacons serve the material and practical needs of the church. The dispute was that the Hellenist widows were not being served. So the Hebrews who were serving the distribution of the food, were neglecting the Hellenists' widows. And they're supposed to take care of all of the widows, but they were taking care of their widows first and not addressing the needs of the Hellenists. This was causing a division. So the first most obvious point of what deacons do is simply take care of practical material needs of people. Whatever that might be. Secondly, deacons serve the church by freeing the elders to remain focused on prayer and the ministry of the word. Right? This is what the 12 apostles decide. It's not right for us to leave the ministry of the word and not to be devoted to pray in order to deacon tables, in order to serve tables. So let's find some other people who can do this, who are good reputation and are full of wisdom and full of the Spirit in order to take care of these needs. So this frees the apostles, we would say now elders, frees the elders to focus and keep priority on what? Prayer and the ministry of the word. The elders need to be freed to be released to spend significant times in prayer and seeking God's will and also in preaching and teaching. So deacons serve in a way that allows them the freedom to do that. And third, there's also a sense in which the deacons serve this body of believers by maintaining unity. Right? What is so concerning about this situation is there's a division between the Hebrews and the Hellenists. And so this is causing a split. There's tension between these two groups. God does not want his people divided. And so part of the role of what these deacons do, what these servants do, is they come in to make sure there's nothing that will divide his people. They're ambassadors for maintaining and guarding the unity of the church. We need that. Every church needs those who are vigilant in guarding against anything that would divide anything. Deacons need to be the people who are sensitive to those kinds of issues. And so those are three basic observations. But look at the result. Look at the result in verse 7. I'm going to read it one more time. So what they have done, they're meeting practical material needs. They're freeing the elders to be devoted to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And they're maintaining unity. And the result of this is verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. What happened when this solution was brought about? The gospel prospered. The word of God multiplied, people were saved, disciples were made. It made a difference in the vitality of the church. Let that be your prayer during these days. As you're seeking the Lord, would you pray, God, do that. If this is your will and we're rightly sensing you, then bring to our minds who those deacons need to be so that the gospel can prosper, so that disciples can be trained, and so that folks who don't believe the gospel can come to believe it. So that's what they do. Now, Paul also explains qualifications for deacons. So quickly want to turn your attention there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. I'll just read these again. Some of these are so basic they don't need a lot of explanation. They're self-explanatory, but we'll go through them. And I hope you're thinking, I hope you have already begun to think, well, who would I nominate? Who would fit this kind of role? Verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Deacons must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, and then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. And their wives or women likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded and faithful in all things. David, there's your sober-minded. That quality also applies to us as elders. Verse 12, let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So this is what deacons ought to look like. This is what you need to think of as you're thinking and praying through who should be deacons. Do I qualify? Is this me? Is this descriptive of who I am in the Lord? And so at one point, you'll notice in verse 11 that there is a word that says their wives, or you may have a translation which says women, because the word can be translated either way. And we understand this to mean that women are allowed to serve in this office of deacon. Paul gives this qualifications here, and he doesn't list any other qualifications for the wives of elders. And you would think, if he's talking about the wives of deacons, why is there a list of qualifications for the wives of deacon, and there's not those of the wives of elder? So it probably is referring to women who serve as deacons. Phoebe also, in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, is mentioned as a deaconess, a female servant of the church. So we as elders have come to the agreement that we believe that this allows women to serve in this particular role. The only distinction between the role of deacon and elder is that of teaching, which also carries authority for understanding and communicating doctrine. That aspect and role is reserved for elder. And so we do not recognize or accept that women should serve in the role of elder, but we do understand that women are welcome to serve as deacon. So let's look at these. I've combined the lists into 10 characteristics or qualities or qualifications, just to go them quickly. Dignified. Some of your translations may say worthy of respect. The word really has a notion of weightiness, heaviness. There's a sense of gravity. This is not a person who's flippant. This is a person who knows how to be well-mannered and not unnecessarily be offensive to someone. Though also, you'll see that a deacon should be a person who has control of their tongue. The Bible is very specific about words, and so this person should not be double-tongued or a slanderer. Double-tongued meaning I don't say one thing in front of one person and another thing in front of someone else. Or I'm not presenting myself in one way, it's what I say, I'm not lying, I'm not two-faced and two-tongued, I'm not double-tongued, nor am I a slanderer, someone who intentionally says things that are untrue about someone else's character. Not addicted to much wine. This can't be a person given to much drink. Deacons can't be that way, can't be susceptible to the influence of or the control of alcohol. Fourth, not greedy for dishonest gain. It's probably the case that deacons were helpful in distributing financial gifts among the early church, and so deacons need to have their understanding of money, their desires for money under control. So can't be a person who's given to dishonest gain or a desire or an intense desire for financial benefit. Fifth, must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Paul uses similar language like this when he's talking about an elder. And I think what he's getting at is you need to be able to say, I don't doubt the truths of Scripture. The mystery, this word in the New Testament, often refers to the fact that God intends salvation to come through faith in Jesus. And that unfolding of the mystery also applied both to Jews and to Gentiles. So salvation in the New Testament is through one person. That was not always clear. It's through the person of Jesus. And I think what Paul is saying is deacons need to be able to say, I believe that. I can hold in good conscience all of the truths of Scripture that's taught about the gospel. I don't doubt them, so I can communicate them boldly. That's what a deacon needs to be able to do. Also, needs to be able to be tested and found blameless. So this needs to be a person whose conduct you're able to see, and you're able to become convinced that there's nothing in his or her conduct that would exclude them from serving or would bring shame upon the name of Jesus. Sober-minded, there it is, serious, thoughtful, not flippant, faithful, a person who's marked by a lifestyle that keeps promises and his word or her word is significant. Husband of one wife, not a polygamist, is a faithful man to one wife, one spouse, and manages the household well. If you want to, as Paul says in another place, if you want to entrust someone into the managing of God's household, the church, they need to be able to take care of their own place well. So what's family life like? You need to look at this as a qualification as well. So these are the qualifications for deacon, the 10 that we see listed. And we decided that at the end of the service, we would give you an opportunity to take that insert in your bulletin. And as you think about these qualities, would you just spend a minute or two in prayer? And if you call Hope home and you know people that you would want to recommend, would you just jot their names down? So as I just sort of wrap up our time, I would ask you to grab your bulletin, pull that out. And if there are names that come to mind, please fill them out. Drop them in either of the offering boxes that are at either door. Or if you want to spend time praying about this, take this home and give it some thought and some prayer. Ian has some pens. If you need a pen, just raise your hand. Ian came, he's got about 175 pens right there. Everybody can have three if you want. But if you want to spend some time thinking about this, please make sure that we have your nomination by the 10th. So that's 2 days. We want to be able to have time to then go to persons that you might nominate and ask them, what you've been nominated, will you consider this? Would you pray about this? And our goal is that at the beginning of March, a month from now, that we might be able to do just what we did to elders, to deacons. We would like to have installed a team of deacons to be able to better serve the body of this church. So these are the qualifications. You think through them. And you might be a person who would say, do I qualify? I had someone who recently, as we announced this, sent me an email and said, do you think I qualify to serve? So we had a conversation to sit down, and I just went through these qualifications, and we talked through each one of them, and it was a good experience. If God is calling you, listen. It's a good and wonderful thing to desire to serve God's church. It is, David, a burden, but it's not a burden that is troublesome or hard to bear. It's a sense of gravity that we realize we can't do this on our own. I'm convinced this will be good for our church and for our people. And I ask you to seriously think about it. And maybe God is stirring your heart too to serve in this way. That's a good thing. Let me pray for us, and then I'll invite Ian to come. Father, I am excited about what you're doing among us these days. I know your will is good. All of your plans and intention for your people are good and right and true. It is good for there to be elders who serve the saints of every church. And it appears it is good from your word that deacons similarly serve. If this would be good for Hope Church in 2015 to establish a team of deacons, would you from heaven open your hands and bless us? Would you pour out your grace upon David and Paul? Father, we are nothing without you, but I pray that the gospel would increase, that our love for the nations would unfold, that Paul and Nanth might be a person who inspires our passion for the nations. Would you bless David Gonzalez and the wisdom that you have given him? Would you bless Michael and David Chamberlain and Ian Whitfield and me? Would you do mighty things for your name through us little people? Pour out your spirit on us, God. May we humbly depend upon you for everything we do. And please keep us from depending upon our own strength. Through Christ, I pray. Amen.